Good evening, councillors, staff, ladies and gentlemen. I declare this briefing session open at 6:30 p.m. First item of business is declarations of interest. I've received a number. I'll just go through them very briefly. First of all, from Councillor Fishwick for item 12.2, the execution of documents. It's an interest that may affect impartiality as Councillor Fishwick is a member of the Sorrento Bowling Club. Another from myself for item 12.7, list of payments. It's an interest that may affect impartiality as I do part-time work for Thompson Gear. However, I do not work on City of Joondalup matters. Further declaration from myself for 12.10, bulk waste tender. It is a financial interest as I have done work for companies that have submitted tenders for this work. This work that I've done does not relate to the City of Joondalup or to this tender. Another one from me for 12.12, panel for the provision of tree maintenance. It's an interest that may affect impartiality as I'm a former employee of one of the tenderers, being Jess Tree Service from 1997 to 2006. Another one from myself for item 12.12, panel of provision of tree maintenance. Also an interest that may affect impartiality as the directors of Tree Amigos and of Jess Tree Service are known to me. And a declaration of interest from Councillor Hamilton Prime for item 13.1.4, the expansion and redevelopment of Whitford's Library and Seniors Centre. This is also an interest that may affect impartiality as the executive of the Whitford's Junior Centre is known to Councillor Hamilton Prime. Council, are there any other declarations of interest? If not, we proceed to the deputation part of the agenda. Deputation requests are made in writing and addressed to the Mayor. A time period of 15 minutes, or up to 15 minutes, is set aside for each deputation, and deputations are not to exceed 5 persons in number, with only 3 being at liberty to address elected members. Deputations that are, if they don't use the entire 15 minutes, there's an opportunity for elected members to ask questions of those giving deputations if time permits. I'll call forward for a deputation tonight, Mr. Gary Formaggio from Heathridge.
Good evening, councillors. My name is Gary Formaggio. I'm from 7 Siren Road in Heathridge, and I would like to address, came to my knowledge about the proposal for the Heathridge Oval upgrade, potential upgrade, and I would like to address that with you as a resident of Joondalup, but also as a resident that lives directly opposite the park. From what I've seen online, I understand 4 options were presented or will be presented to council for consideration, and from my understanding only one of those options are going to be presented to residents for consultation. I would like to raise the question of why not all 4 options being presented to the residents of Joondalup to have a say on this oval. As for myself, me and my family have lived at 7 Siren Road for 11 years. In that 11 years, the playground has been the same. The building, pretty much when it rains, gets flooded, and the oval is just run down. When I've looked at the options, the best option, in my opinion, is to do it right, and do it right the first time, and make it future-proof for the next generation of people coming through. There's nearly 3,000 people who use the oval as members of clubs, but there's a lot of people who use the oval who are not members of clubs, like me and my family. I spend hours every week down there with my boy and my daughter practicing soccer. That's not counted in the numbers. It would be great if we could have a say in which option is used and which option will be the best for future generations, because there's a few options on there where you'll, in my opinion, you'd be spending the same amount of money in 5 years' time. You come down to the Oval any Saturday from now to September and there's cars everywhere. There's inadequate parking. Option 1, option 2, that produces a lot more parking for a lot of the guys who are playing footy for a lot of the guys who come and play cricket over the summertime, it increases the parking space. So I just want to just say my 2 minutes and just give you, from a resident who lives opposite that park, it's pretty run down. It really needs a full redo, top to, and more playing space, more change rooms for both women and men, and to, as a homeowner, hopefully to bury the wastewater hole, that will only help my property go up in value, personally. So, but yeah, I don't have much more to say, but yeah, I'd appreciate if the residents could have an option to say on all four options instead of being given one option.
Thank you, Mr. Fallaggio. Councillors, any questions? Councillor Jones?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Firstly, I'm really glad you came tonight because everything you just said, I agree with completely. And I actually favour option one, and do it right. Let's do it right. I've been waiting for such a long time. Just a question for you, though. You said you live opposite. Do you get problems with illegal parking outside your property, or...?
So, not really. I'm quite open because I understand that people need to park. I do have a sort of I don't understand the parking signs, to be honest. From where I stand on 7 Siren, the fact you can't park on the verge for like 150 metres one side, but you can on the other side. So, there is a lot of cars. Like, you come to a Saturday game where you've got two big footy clubs playing against each other, and there's cars all up and down all the roads. So there's definitely not adequate parking, that's for sure. And that would be from now. That's even started 2 weeks ago, and that will go to October. But, yeah, I've let plenty of people park on my verge, on my side, because they don't want to get a ticket, or they can't find parking. So I've been out there kicking with my boy. I said, yeah, mate, just park in front of my house, no problem.
Further questions? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Fallaggio.
All right, thank you.
Next item of business is public question time. There's a set of procedures which relates to public question time, and I request that you follow my direction at all times. You'll have an opportunity to ask 2 questions. Your questions should be directed to myself and asked in a polite, respectful manner. Questions asked at a briefing session must relate to an item listed on the briefing agenda, and I'd ask that you please state your name and address for the public record before asking your question. I call forward for our first question, Ms. Michelle Kwok.
Michelle Kwok, 15 Crowthorpe Ocean Reef. Mayor, councillors, good evening. I've only got one question relating to this integrated transport plan. Has the city considered the concept of induced demand in when putting this plan together?
Director Klassen.
Free Mr. Mayor, before I answer the question, may I ask what do you mean with induced demand?
Ms. Kwok.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. That in the sense that the more road you build, you get more cars, eventually catch up. You know, it's not the it's an immediate solution, but not a long-term solution. I just whether you consider that.
Director Klassen.
Free Mr. Mayor, in developing the plan and in the network reviews the city undertake, we do consider potential modal shift and the impact on modal shift. Modal shift meaning in the sense that there's an assumption of changes from car use to public transport or other active transport modes, and the modelling takes that into consideration when we look at the capacity of the roading network itself.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody else wish to ask a question? Mr. Moore.
Mike Moore, 31 Quarry Ramble, Edgewater. First question relates to Heathridge Park. There's a stormwater sump there. other councils have turned those stormwater sumps into car parking by burying detention tanks into them and then building a car park over the top. Has that been considered for Heath Ridge Park?
Director Humphrey.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. We did look at further sites for parking on Heath Ridge Park. I don't recall using drainage cells and converting sumps to parking areas being specifically considered. However, it is something that could be raised and considered during detailed design.
Okay, second question relates to the Whitfords Library and Recreation Centre. At the moment, it's not very well accessed by public transport. The bus stops are on Whitfords Avenue, and it's quite a hike through the car park of the shopping centre to get to the Library and Recreation Centre, Senior Citizen Centre. A footpath could be built along the west side of Marmion Avenue to access that. It's about 180 metres of footpath. Has that also been considered, or is the council open to considering that?
I'll go to Director Klassen first. Director Klassen.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. In terms of the report in front of us, that was not considered specifically as part of that report. That was about the upgrading of the facility itself. In terms of the provision of a footpath on the western side of Marmion Avenue, there is within the facility, and I understand the concern that some of that is accessed through the car park, but there is pedestrian movements through that, through the, let's call it the Whitfords Shopping Centre car park area, with a footpath on the access road on the eastern side of that access road to the Whitfords Library and the Senior Citizens Club.
But we can take that on board and look into that.
Okay.
I understand the suggestion, and we will look at that a bit closer. Thank you, Mr. Moore. Are there any other questions? If not, that concludes public question time, and we proceed to public statement time. There's a set of procedures which relates to public statement time, and I'll request that you follow my direction at all times. You'll have an opportunity to make a statement for up to 2 minutes. Statement should be directed through myself and also be polite and respectful. No question or discussion will occur at the end of your statement, and statements made at a briefing session must relate to an item listed on the briefing session agenda. And same as for public question time, please state your name and address for the public record before making your statement. I call forward first Ms. Michelle Kwok.
Michelle Kwok, 15 Crossover Ocean Reef. Mayor, councillors, Kaya. When I live in UK, it's walking distance to the shops, banks and post office. In contrast, here in Ocean Reef, we're still waiting for the much-anticipated shopping centre to eventuate. Jobs, shops and schools are mostly not within walking distances. Urban sprawl in a spacious country and the lack of careful planning is the reason why we have above-average car ownership in the city of Joondalup. Sustainable means of transport include walking, bicycles, scooters, public transport, and lastly, car sharing and carpooling. The headline of Sydney Herald in December last year was, "We're running out of road in Sydney, so think twice about that new car." Since 2001, the growth in the number of registered vehicles in Sydney has been faster than the population increase. We should be learning lessons from the others. Whether it's an ICE or an EV, it's still a car. There has to be a shift from a car culture. Good planning and infrastructure have to be in place for more sustainable transport to be possible. Looking at Fremantle or Subiaco, it's possible to walk and cycle to shops, and both places have thriving farmers' market. Living expenses is skyrocketing, and small businesses are struggling. The city need to support more local business in all suburbs in order to reduce the need of travelling for local residents. On the other hand, a lot of these things like banking, shopping, schooling can be done online. Young people prefer to take public transport so they can remain connected to the internet on their phone. I was showing this plan to the people at Coffee Morning today, and they love the work the city is doing to keep up with the good work. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kwok. Mr. Mike Moore.
Okay, Mike Moore, 31 Quarry Ramble, Edgewater. Heathridge Park, my understanding of the proposal there initially was that it was to address some key issues, one of which was a lack of playing field capacity, and the second was the parking problem, that there was insufficient car parking for the number of people attending there on weekends. Option 3 doesn't address either of those issues, and I don't believe it's the best option to run with. I'm not sure that any of the options are actually the best option to run with, but option 3 definitely isn't. Over the life of the building, the cost of building it is between 3 to 5%, so therefore going for the cheapest option is not always the best solution. You're better off spending a little bit more money, doing it right, and addressing the issues that actually exist there. Otherwise, you've been penny-wise and pound-foolish. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Does anybody else wish to make a statement? If not, I declare public statement time closed. Next item of business is apologies and leaves of absence. We have a number of leaves of absence approved this evening, including for Councillor Kingston, Councillor Vinciullo, Councillor Chester, Councillor Rafterson, Councillor Pizzi, and I have an apology from Councillor May. Are there any elected members requesting a leave of absence? If not, the agenda, you'll note, says confirmation of minutes, but that will be considered on the 23rd of April, as will announcements by the presiding member without discussion. We go then to item number 10, matters for which the meeting may be closed to the public. There are no confidential reports on tonight's agenda. However, if there are any questions on the confidential attachments of item 12.10 and 12.11 being the tenders for the bulk hard waste and bulk green waste collection, we will go behind closed doors to consider those attachments. Next item of business is petitions. The city has received two petitions, one in relation to pump track, jump track and a basketball pad at Whitford's West Kallaroo, and a petition in relation to the childcare centre development proposal for lots 44 to 46 Grand Ocean Entrance in Burns Beach. Are there any other petitions, councillors? If not, submitted petitions will be reviewed and checked for validity, and if valid, will be presented to the council meeting held on the 23rd of April. I now proceed to the reports section of the agenda. As is our practice, I'll pull out those two items that were raised during deputations, public question time and public statement time, and then I'll return to the front of the agenda. So I'll start with item 12.15, being the Joondalup Integrated Transport Plan, then I will do Heathridge Park Master Plan, 13.1.2, and then return to the front of the agenda. So 12.15, Draft City of Joondalup Integrated Transport Plan. Any questions on this item, councillors? If not, 13.1.2, Heathridge Park Master Plan Project Concept Design Update. Councillors, questions on this item? A question from myself, if I can. Director Humphrey, can I please have an amendment prepared that all four options, along with potential costings, be included for the public consultation?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, happy to provide that.
Thank you. Any further questions? In that case, I'll return to 12.1, Development and Subdivision Applications, February 2024. Councillor Fishwick.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just on attachment 12.1.1 on page 7, it states that the recreation private change of use at Hepburn Heights shops for shop 11/6 Blackwattle Parade. My recollection is the three or four restaurants there, so I just wondered what the change of use in recreation would be. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Director.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and through you. Recreation private is a land use term from our town planning scheme. It is typically linked to some sort of active recreation, in this instance a gym, and more specifically it's changing one of the restaurant tenancies that I think was most recently a Nepalese restaurant. It's changing over into a karate dojo.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
It may be ran by somebody who's mentioned in your Walk of Fame, Councillor Fishwick. Any further questions, councillors? Item 12.2, execution of documents, Councillor Fishwick.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In relation to 57 Murray Road, which is to allow for the registration of a change of ownership, to allow a caveat to be permanently withdrawn, did the council sell the land and was the DA lodged for multiple dwellings with the land zone R40 restricted by DPS2, whereby the contract the sale conditions was for age-dependent person dwellings, which was approved by the DAP so a few years ago. So is the council now removing the caveat to allow a DA without it being restricted for age-person use?
Jota.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, through you. The execution of this particular document or the withdrawal of caveat is effectively giving effect to the council's decision from November last year. When this land was originally sold by the city, I think in 2017, there was a restrictive covenant included in the sale of contract that a development could only be for specifically aged persons' dwellings, which is effectively dwellings for people aged 55 years or over. Since that sale, there was a planning application that was lodged and approved by the development assessment panel for multiple dwellings for aged persons, but that development didn't go ahead. The owner that purchased it from the city originally put the site up for sale last year. One of the prospective purchasers inquired with the city as to whether or not there was the ability to amend the restrictive covenant so it wasn't limited to just aged persons, but it also allowed dependent persons' dwellings to be developed as well. That came before council in November last year, and council supported that that change, if you like. So the withdrawal of caveat isn't to open it up to be developed for any type of housing. It's being amended so it broadens it from just aged persons to aged persons and dependent persons' dwellings. But we don't have a planning application in yet at this stage for any development.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Any other questions on this item? We go then to item 12.3, status of council decisions. Any questions on this item? Item 12.4, minutes of regional council meetings. Any questions on this item? Item 12.5, standardised meeting procedures, City of Joondalup submission. Councillor Fishwick.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll just work through a few of the responses to the department's paper for consultation, which was pretty bland. But anyway, in relation to agendas and order of business, with regard to the public presentations and petitions and our response to consider including public statement time, given our meeting procedures, local law currently allows for public statement time with a maximum time limit of 2 minutes per statement, could a comment be made to limit the time to 15 minutes for statement time, as is our current council determination?
Director Parry.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, the city could support a comment in addition to the one that we've already made to allow a maximum of 15 minutes for public statement time, so we can make that adjustment.
Thank you, Mr. Parry. Just on the same agenda and order of business, the paper also has the order of business as the last item prior to closure, which is matters for which the meeting may be closed. In our local law, it's listed as a clause H, it's halfway down the order of business, so which is identification of matters which the meeting may sit behind closed doors. Could support be given to having this clause as the last item so that all confidential items could be listed under that heading, which would negate the need for the council under clause 14.1 of our local law, the suspension of the operation of Clause 4.3, which is the order of business. So that would then enable, in my view, the consideration of all confidential matters that are on the agenda to be listed under one heading.
Director.
Through Mr. Mayor, thank you for that comment, Councillor. I think we can support that comment as well with regard to it being included towards the end of the agenda, as would be the acceptable practice as we currently do at the moment, so we can make that adjustment.
Just a couple more, Mr. Mayor, if you don't mind. Also, on adjourning the meeting, the department's consultation paper states that, one, a presiding member may adjourn a meeting for 15 minutes to regain order of a meeting that has been disrupted. And their clause 2 says that if a meeting is adjourned for a second time due to disruption, a presiding member must adjourn the meeting to another day, time or place, not on the same day, with notice being published on the local government's website. So my view is that could we add a comment so that the presiding member may, rather than must, adjourn the meeting following a second disruption, which is similar to Clause 8.6 of our meeting procedures local law, which states that if any at one meeting the presiding member adjourns the meeting more than once for the purpose of preserving or regaining order, the second or subsequent adjournment may be to a later time on the same day or on another day. So this would perhaps save elected members and the public and staff time coming back for another meeting on a different day, and also costs.
Director?
Three, Mr. Mayor. Very happy to support that one. It's not one of the questions that the department asked, thank Councillor Fishwick for bringing it to our attention, because I do think that the clause that the department's proposing, or the principle, is overly restrictive.
Thank you. A couple more still. motions and amendments. Department seeking comment for us for one calendar week, 7 days. So our current practice is that is 7 days in our local law. Our informal agreed practice is to request for a notice on a notice of motions, request a report, but on some instance now it's creeping in that we go to an action. So therefore my question is that, is 7 days adequate, or could it be 7 business days or something more, so that staff could prepare a full detailed report that would be circulated with the agenda?
Director Parry?
Three, Mr. Mayor, thank you very much for that question as well. As is currently within our meeting procedures, I think it's 4.6 regarding notices of motion, does provide that the CEO can provide relevant and material facts and circumstances relating to a notice of motion on things related to budget, law and policy. I think the ability to provide a response to a notice of motion is very much dependent upon the complexity of the motion itself. And even with 2 additional days, I don't think it would necessarily assist in improving the ability of the admin to provide a comprehensive report to the standard that the city currently tries to ensure with regard to good governance practices. So I think that perhaps if we were to, as is our response to most of the department's suggestions here, it tries to align with the meeting procedures, so I think it might be more appropriate if you wish to have an amendment to the proposed comments to extend it to clear business days, then that might be suggested as an amendment. It still doesn't stop the council from continuing with its agreed practice, but if we wish to go outside what our current meeting procedures are, then we could draft an amendment for you along those lines if you so wish.
I would appreciate that, Mr. Parry, so I can give that further consideration and maybe have a discussion with some staff on that as well. Item 4 is other matters. In relation to considering including a clause to suspend the operation of the meeting procedures as currently included in our meeting procedures local law, should that be reworded to suspend a specific clause or clauses, and Therefore, if we're considering a confidential matter behind closed doors, for example, the CEO's employment contract, which is a pretty important document we need to consider, some members might ask a question and then they're curtailed, they can't ask a second one. Should it be raised around the chamber that they'd like to seek some more information? So that's the gist of it. So your comments on that, please.
Director Parry?
Through Mr. Mayor, I think that would be normal meeting protocol and practice, and I would hope that the department would put something in place that was in relation to suspending the operations of a specific clause. But I think it is worthwhile us, we can support that amendment and include that within our submission as well, so we can make that adjustment to it to be more specific.
And the last one, Mr. Mayor, is that in relation to our endorsement of the paper, could we also include an amendment to that we forwarded that to WAL, because they're seeking comments by the 29th of April and our council meeting's on the 23rd, so we would have adequate time to submit that to WALGA so they may do also a consolidated response from the sector, so we'd also get our feelings in their response to the department as well. Could amendment be prepared so that we could also send it off to WALGA?
Director?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, thank you very much for the suggestion. We would provide a response to WALGA as a matter of course, but there's nothing that prevents us from having an amendment motion that clarifies that particular action as well, so we can draft something along those lines.
Thank you, Mr. Parry. My thoughts are run out, not exhausted. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Fishwick. Further questions? Councillor Hutton.
Just in regards to the City of Joondalup's generalised comments, are there examples of where the comments actually stray from the current procedure of the City?
Director Parry.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I would have to answer probably not. If there is a meeting procedure that is in place, we have tried to ensure that that current position is maintained. Otherwise, there are probably some proposals in there which are not within our meeting procedures where we've tried to just have a common sense approach. I think the department is just looking for are responses to high-level principles at the moment, and I hope that they would be consulting further with local governments on the exact provisions which they intend are going to be placed upon all local governments so that we have more of a say in the specifics of the provisions.
Councillor?
Yeah, I guess that was my reading of the submission. I would just ask if before the next council meeting if there is any examples that we come across where they do stray from the current procedures, it would be good if they could be singled out, if that's possible.
Thank you. Further questions? If not, we proceed to item 12.6, amendment to the briefing session date for June 2024. Any questions on this item? 12.7, list of payments for the month of February 2024. Any questions on this item? Councillor O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just was looking through all the paperwork as presented. I have quite a few questions. Council will bear with me. Just in relation to the first one here on page 128, attachment 12.7.1, the line item Ampol Australia Petroleum Pty Ltd, which appears on there. I'm just wondering what that, what the fuel import, what that's relating to. Reason I ask is that it's appeared on credit cards before for fuel purchases as well, and I'm just wondering, is there two separate methods of purchasing fuel?
Director Humphrey.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. You're quite correct. It is picked up on the card statements as well. The current interpretation of the regulations from the department is that we're required to provide all cards, irrespective of how they're paid. So in this instance, we have fuel cards for our fleet and our various equipment that requires fuel, and they use the cards to actually authorise the payment at the service station, and we then pay the account on a monthly basis. So the amount you see there is the monthly account, and it'll be a tally of all the card payments that you see in other parts of the agenda. That's not, we're not paying for the fuel twice, though. It's just how we pay for it.
Thank you. My next question relates to, further down on the same page there, an invoice, invoice 0084 for creative self-care, $660. I'm just wondering what that is in relation to, if I may.
Director.
Mr. Mayor, I have to take that one on notice.
Councillor.
Thank you. My next question is in relation to Art House Gallery Australia, PTY LTD, on page 129. There was a purchase, John Price Siddon artwork for $8,278.80. And I was just wondering in what we're in relation to.
Councillor. Director. Sorry.
Through Mr. Mayor. The city does have a protocol in place that allows us to purchase artworks if there's a budget line item allowing it. I'm happy to provide details of artwork purchased and why it was purchased in the notes going out on Friday.
Thank you. Further to that, same page, down the bottom there, 15th of the 2nd, 2024, Australia Post, postage lettering, $8,247.54. My inquiry is in relation to, is that a standard monthly fee or does that fluctuate based on times of the year?
Director.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, it fluctuates quite a fair bit during any month where we have rates, instalments, notices going out or reminders that will go up quite significantly. It will also depend on the level of consultation being undertaken.
Councillor.
Thank you. Next one is on page 130, 12.7.1. It's just an inquiry into 15th of the 2nd, 2024 Australian liquor markets. A bunch of various drinks was purchased, totaling up quite a sum. I'm just wondering what that is in relation to.
Director.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'll take that one on notice and provide the details and facts.
Councillor.
Thank you. The next one is on page 131, 12.7.1, approximately three quarters of the page down, 29th of the 2nd, 2024, the Borovinda Family Trust trading as Impact Panel and Paint. There's a claim there made for a vehicle, and just wondering, the operation of this, is this from a damage that was occurred by something that impacted on one of the city's vehicles, or was it the city driver's fault, or was it other fault?
Director.
Through Mr. Mayor, I'm not able to tell that from the payment. What I can tell is an excess payment, so there was damage to a city vehicle. The vehicle has been sent to the repairer, and we've paid the excess. I'll take the remainder of the question on notice and provide the information for you.
Thank you. Next question is obviously for consumables on page 133, Bunnings Proprietary Limited. My query in relation to this is quite a substantial amount of Bunnings payments that have been produced in this period. I'm wondering, is this for standard city operations or is this for items provided to various subcontracting or contractors? Further to that point, is it standard practice that the City of Joondalup authorises payments for hardware and items for the subcontractors and then that cost is reduced from their amounts and their final invoicing, or is this a standard practice that just happens monthly?
Director.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the City does not pay for any subcontractors' materials. If it's a situation where we're required to provide materials as part of a contract, they're purchased, usually with a purchase order. What you're seeing there in those payments is the normal hardware requirements for the various services we provide. There are staff who are issued with authorisation cards for Bunnings and they are able to access various parts and materials on the city account for those purposes. It is a reasonably standard payment, it's a reasonably standard practice. But again, obviously it will fluctuate depending on the season.
Councillor.
Thank you. Further, page 134, CR Kennedy and Co. Proprietary Limited. Expenditure services, just wondering what expenditure services is the definition of, if I could get that on notice.
Director Humphrey.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I will have to take that one on notice. That's the first line of the invoice, so I will retrieve the invoice and see what the other line items are.
Thank you. Next question. I won't talk about that one. The next question is on page 136, approximately halfway down the page. On 29th of the 2nd, 2024, CMAC Technologies Proprietary Limited, there's a four-hour ladder hire charge equaling $591.91 for 4 hours, and I'm just wondering how that charge came about.
Director.
Thanks to you, Mr. Mayor. It looks like equipment hire for works to CCTV. I'm assuming it's a ladder, but they're more likely referring to some form of mobile scaffolding. I'll take my notice and provide details and facts.
Councillor.
Thank you. Moving along. Sorry, there's quite a few there. The next one would be on the page 143, 12.7.1, approximately halfway down, E-Group Holdings Proprietary Limited. There's maintenance of a hinge on a pivot fire door for $184.80. Is that a standard costing amount for a pivot door hinge?
Director.
Through Mr. Mayor, I believe those fees and charges are contained within the tender. That particular group looks after the fire safety in all the city's buildings, and in the tender documents they are required to specify repairs at certain prices. So it's most likely that is the cost of the part plus the service time. Take on notice that and provide information packs.
Thank you. Now to page 144, 15th of the 2nd, 2024, EWCS Unit Trust EnviroSuite. I note on here invoices 117629 and 117864. We have the use of the sweeping, the road sweepers. However, the company obviously maintains and has its own sweepers, yet we're paying the hire of the road sweeper at a cost of $2,740.10. Can that be outlined and explained, please?
Director Humphrey.
Through Mr. Mayor, quite often with tenders for works, we will receive unit prices for services. We'll often specify the equipment to be hired and the type of operator we'll pay, so that's how we compare various tenders to work out what's the best value for the city. When we do that, the tender is, or the contractor is then required to bill us in accordance with that schedule. So what you're seeing there is the rates that were specified in the tender that the contractor is required to use when they bill the city. I will look at the invoice of that and provide further details on exactly what they were doing in the packs.
Councillor O'Neill, I note we're about a quarter of the way through the list of payments.
Yes, we are.
Generally, if elected members have this many detailed questions, the practice is often to put them in writing and then they can all be answered to, and those answers can be distributed amongst elected members. You are within your rights to continue verbally asking them all in the briefing session. Mm-hmm. However...
Yeah, I'll just ask three more, if I may.
Councillor O'Neill.
Thank you. Page 145, Elephant Proprietary Limited as a subscription renewal for a Tier 2 product at $6,600. Could that please be explained?
Director?
Through Mr. Mayor, Elephant is a web services company that provide mapping solutions for the city's website. We subscribe to that service because it's far more affordable than developing that expertise in-house.
Thank you, and I'll just keep it to one more. On page 147, which continues back from page 146, EVE Australia Proprietary Limited, there's a charges here for an EV Type 2 EV charging cable, 22 kilowatt, $2,428.25. I'm just actually wondering, and the second one obviously below it, $2,272.82. I was wondering why what those charges are in relation to. Was there a theft of the charging cable? If not, and it was a damaged product, how often is this common practice that these cables are replaced, and is that the standard cost?
Director Humphrey.
Through Mr. Mayor, a quick look at the charge. I believe that's for 10 cables, and I believe it's in relation to the addition of electric vehicles to the city's fleet. I'll provide further details in the packs on Friday.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Further questions? If not, we proceed to item 12.8, financial activity statement for February 2024. Councillors, are there any questions on this item? Item 12.9, card transactions for the month of February 2024. Any questions on this item?
Councillor O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a couple of really quick ones, if I may, in relation to page 222 to 12.9.1. The first charge is 6 of the 2nd, 2024. The Warners Group Public Hat, the Family Tree magazine subscription for the renewal of Woodvale Library. And yet further down, on the 8th of the 2nd, it shows the Warners Group Public Hat Family Tree magazine subscription renewal reference library. I'm just wondering, are these two the same product, which has been charged twice, or what the situation is with that? Because it just falls within days of each other, so they're obviously not just a monthly charge. This seems to be something that has been charged every couple of days. Am I correct, or could you explain that, please?
Director Humphrey.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, it's most likely multiple subscriptions, but I'll take the question on notice and check the details to make sure and provide further details in the packs.
Councillor O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That's all.
Further questions, councillors? Proceed then to item 12.10. Are there questions on this item? If not, 12.2. Oh, we do have a presentation, I will leave. And if there are questions, actually what I might do, because there's presentation and then if we need to shut the meeting, I might hold it over if you're happy to bear with me. I'll skip that and come back to it, because also people are in the gallery as well and we may need to ask them to leave. So I'll come back to 12.10 and 12.11. Director Klassen, we'll go to 12.12, invitation to join the panel of pre-qualified suppliers, provision of tree maintenance services. Any questions on this item? If not, 12.13, investigation into the potential for land leasing in place of traders' permits for mobile traders. Questions on this item? Item 12.14, new shared path request for Whitfords Avenue in Craigie. Are there questions on this item? 13.1.1, project philosophy and key parameters for the land acquisition strategy. Are there questions on this item? 13.1.3, Joondalup Performing Arts Centre project philosophy and parameters. Questions on this item? And the expansion and redevelopment of the Whitford Library and Whitford Senior Citizens Centre. Are there questions on this item? If not, we'll return to 12.10 and Mr. Deputy Mayor invited to take the chair.
Thank you. This is item 12.10, tender 008/24, bulk hard waste collection and processing services. We have a presentation from Director Carson. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I've just prepared a couple of slides. Thank you, Errol. The purpose of the report is for Council to consider the tender for the bulk hard waste collection service and bulk hard waste processing service. Next slide, please. Following consideration of a notice of motion, Council at its meeting on 16 August 2022 considered a report detailing the comparative cost between various options for bulk hard waste and bulk green waste services. Council resolved, amongst other things, as follows: support the continuation of an on-request bulk hard waste service, and then request the Chief Executive Officer to include options for loose collection or a containerized collection service in the next request for tender for the bulk hard waste collection service. Next slide, please. As per Council's request, the tender included options for a contractor to provide an on-request containerized or loose collection service of the bulk hard waste for residents. The tender was divided into three separable portions. Separable portion one was for the collection of containerized bulk hard waste on an on-request basis and delivery to nominated site. Separable portion two was collection of loose bulk hard waste on an on-request basis and delivered to the nominated site. And separable portion three was for the sorting process, recovery and disposal of the bulk hard waste stream at that specific nominated site. Next slide, please. The city did not receive a tender response for separable portion 2, which is for the collection of loose bulk hard waste on an on-request basis and delivered to the nominated site. So to clarify that, the only tender responses we received was for a containerized on-request service. The city's in-house contact centre currently handles phone calls and email inquiries for most waste service-related requests, except for booking skip bins or bulk hard waste collections and addressing issues related to missed weekly bin collections. Presently, the city relies on three primary contractors, leading to a fragmented customer service experience where residents may need to contact or being put through to these different customer service teams for assistance. As part of the core system upgrade or Project Axiom, the city aims to streamline these workflows, integrate our systems, and enhance customer experience and transition to service this function in-house in line with all the other waste services. Customer service staff will be recruited in advance to ensure they are trained and upskilled, ready to take calls from around the 1st of February 2025 or earlier if we can transition that. The tender makes provision for a 6-month notice period where we can ask the contractor to cease that service. The tender responses are detailed in the report. Based on the tender assessment, the most cost-effective option is to split the collection and the processing components and award two separate contractors. The office recommendation and the tender is detailed in the report. I'm happy to take any questions, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Director Carson. Elected members, would anybody like to ask questions on this item? And I would remind you that if you have questions relating to confidential attachments, we may need to close the meeting. So please let me know if you wish to address those confidential attachments. Otherwise, general questions. Any general questions, elected members? Councillor O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Is it possible for being that there is no option for a loose bin collection service or a loose waste collection service found at this stage, that this matter be referred back for, to say, June for further discussion within council? And second to that, what are the likelihood that we would actually find somebody if council decided that that it should be required that we further investigate this option for having loose collection? Based on what I've heard in the community, the decision is generally split 50-50, that some people like the skip bins, some people miss the old way of loose verge collection. So I do note that it was initially sought that we would find somebody to have a loose collection, and I'm just wondering if it's possible to defer this back to council for further discussion.
Thank you, Councillor Neil. The question to Director Carson, please.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Firstly, the current contract expires at the end of June, and they will, if no tender is awarded, and we'll have to ensure adequate establishment time for a contractor to set up, we will run out of an option to actually provide any service to our residents if the tender is not awarded at the April Council meeting. In terms of the various options, and that's why we brought a report back to Council in August 2022, which was unanimously supported by Council to continue with the on-request service, so not the old scheduled service. There was no support for that at the time from Council around the table. In terms of the likelihood, this was a public tender. It's not that the city knocked on the door for a couple of contractors to provide quotations. This was a public tender, and the tenderers that provided the service has opted not even to provide that option of a loose collection in response to the tender. So based on that, I would make the assumption that it's highly unlikely that in a very, very short period of time we'll actually get a response for a loose collection on the verge.
Anything further, Councillor O'Neill?
Just wondering if I may. Being that that's the case, is it possible, I note that the contract is for a set term of years, I'm wondering if it's possible to, for that set term of years to be shortened, and so that would give the city more time to investigate and maybe present something better to the citizens of the city in a couple of years' time.
Councillor Carson.
Through you, Mr. Deputy Mayor, the contract is for a minimum period of 5 years. That cannot be amended. That's the contract as it's tendered. There's an option for a two-year further extension on that contract. And the reason why we normally provide this as a five-year option, the contractors will need to ensure that they acquire the appropriate equipment, trucks, skid bins, whatever process they propose to follow to fulfill the conditions of the contract. And if you do that over a too short period of time, the cost will increase exponentially. So we usually allow a five-year period, and that's the term of the contract. Unfortunately, there's no option to reduce that.
Team members, any further questions on this item? Councillor Hutton.
The director just mentioned there that there is the possible two-year extension on the end of the five-year contract term. I suppose my question would be, as we're at the end of the previous contract, is there a possible to extend the contract we're currently on by 2 years?
Greg Carson.
Through Mr. Deputy Mayor, the contract, the tender that's currently in front of you makes provision for an additional, I think it's 2 one-year extensions. Don't quote me on that. I think that's the case. We have exhausted all the extensions we had on the existing contracts. So there's no option to further extend the existing contracts.
In terms of...
Councillor Hutton?
Yep, sorry. In terms of no individual having made, sorry, no company having made the tender for loose collection, who was the provider that previously done loose collection for the City of Joondalup while we were still doing various collections?
Chris Carson.
Through you, Mr. Deputy Mayor, I think the previous contractor that provided that service to the City of Joondalup was the City of Wanneroo.
Councillor Hutton, anything further?
Given that's the case, has there been discussions with the previous contractor about whether or not they might want to tender for the service?
Director Carson.
Through you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. As I've indicated, it was a public tender. Previously, when we approached the City of Wanneroo, they were not interested in continuing with that service for the City of Joondalup. They are struggling themselves to provide and service their own residents, especially with the high growth in the City of Wanneroo. So they have indicated that that's not something that they will be able to service. That was their position in the past.
Councillor Hutton.
Final question. When it comes to tendering processes like this, has there ever been a procedure in the past where we have collectively tendered with multiple councils? And I give that question in the context that similar-sized councils seem to be going through the same discussion as we are going through.
Chris Carson.
Through Mr. Deputy Mayor, yes, we have amalgamated tonnages, collection options, etc., with specific tenders in the past. I think the previous one that was successful was the processing of recycling, so the yellow bin processing of the yellow bin recyclables. That was done in separable portions so that the cities can award that. One need to understand that there's always the problem when you put in combined tenders is to make sure that everybody's tenders expires at the same time so they can pick up the same tenders, etc. There's also the issue of making sure that the services are exactly the same and agree on the scope of works. But it is something we have explored and have successfully undertaken in the past, yes.
Anything further, Councillor Hutton?
Yeah, apologies. Just one final question. Has there been any consideration given through this tendering process for the ability for bulk collection of recyclable material?
Yes, Councillor.
Through you, Mr. Deputy Mayor, the requirement we place on the contractor for the processing of the bulk waste is to recover as much as possible of the material. We have separated a number of the waste streams, so this is for the remainder of the bulk stream. Mattresses and white goods are collected separately because it requires a different process and disposal recycling methodology. I don't know if we specified a minimum percentage. I might check with the manager of waste service if there's a minimum percentage prescribed in the tender for the processing of the bulk hard waste.
Mr. Pennington.
Yeah, thank you for the question. Through you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. There's a minimum of 20% recycles to be recovered through this contract.
Anything further, Councillor Hunt? Pertinent members, any further questions on this item? I'll just hold to see if anybody else wants to ask a question first. If not, I'll go back to you, Councillor O'Neill. Further question?
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Just one question, if I could. Who is the guardian of the recycling component that was just previously asked about? Like, who ensures it? Who's responsible for ensuring that those recycling targets and KPIs are met?
Chris Carson.
Famous Deputy Mayor, that is a requirement on the contract and specified, and the city undertakes the compliance with the tender conditions, undertakes that itself.
Thank you, members. Any further questions? If not, we'll close that item. Can I ask administration to recall the mayor, please?
Thank you. Director Classen, 12.11.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Again, this report, the purpose of this report is for Council to consider the tender for the bulk green waste collection service and the bulk green waste processing service. Again, following the same meeting in August of 2022, as part of that report, Council also considered various options for the bulk green waste. At the time, the Council supported the introduction of an on-request bulk green waste collection service and then noted that a decision of whether the on-request will be via loose collection or containerized protection will be made as part of the procurement process. And also noted that the City will seek to align the collection service for both bulk hard waste and bulk green waste services to see if there's any economies of scale. As per Council's request, As per Council's request, the tender included options for an on-request service and also we've also asked for option for the continuation of the current scheduled service of bulk green waste for the city's residents. Again, the tender was divided into a number of separable portions. Separable portion one, the collection delivery of loose, verge, bulk, green waste on an on-request basis and delivered to a nominated site and provision of an online booking system. The collection delivery of loose, verge collection, so that's the scheduled collection. And then a separable portion three for the processing or recycling of bulk green, of the bulk green waste stream. Next slide, thank you. The city received responses from four individual companies, which included responses for all three separable portions in this instance, as detailed in the report. Only one tender offered an on-request bulk green waste collection service. However, the estimated cost for the on-request component was $4.2 million more expensive than the cost of the current recommended tender for the scheduled service. Although the on-request service cannot be recommended due to the cost, the city is proposing to amend the current scheduled service from once every 12 months to approximately once every 10 and a half months, so about a six-week shortened time period to ensure that suburbs have a non-cyclical roster for their bulk green waste collection service going forward. The current service is once every 12 months, and if you in a specific suburb, you get that service every time, every year at the same time. With the change in the 10.5-month cycle, that roster will move 6 weeks or between 4 and 6 weeks every year, depending on the volume, to ensure that the service is provided at different times of the year at different suburbs. Again, the officer's recommendation is detailed in the report. I'm happy to take any questions, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Director Klassen. Councillors, questions? Councillor O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So my question is just in relation to the variation of the cycling terms without any corrections, as you've stated. So it does obviously revolve. Being that, say, for instance, with most everyone, you know which week is green bin, which week is yellow bin, and that works as a rotation, and we get used to that. Being that this would obviously rotate on a 10-month or a 10.5-month cycle, has the city considered how it would advise the residents in this instance, being that some people would know for the last 10 years it's been November, now it's changing every 10 months. That's something that people might lose track of. Has the city identified any resource or way to notify the residents when that is coming up?
Director Klassen.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Very good question. So what is currently available to residents is they go on the city's website, they put in their address, and they get the information on when their next red bin collection, or that's every week, and how the green and yellow bin collections follow. It also provides them detail on the next schedule of their bulk green waste collection. That's been the case in the past as well. We also extensively made use of message boards, and even with the current 12-month roster, message boards are provided in the suburbs to alert residents to the fact that the bulk green waste is coming. We also make use of social media posts that are specifically targeted to specific suburbs to provide that information. We're also considering if there's a change in that to do extra comms through the media, and also when we start a change in the service, a couple of letter drops to inform the members of the public of the proposed change in the scheduled service.
Councillor O'Neill.
Thank you. If I could just explore that one a little bit further. Does the city have access to, or does it use any sort of, say, for instance, an SMS servicing that would notify, you know, hey, Mr. Jones, your bulk waste is in 3 weeks, and it identifies those residents, the ratepayers, by their mobile number, which obviously they would provide to the city when they put their particulars down. Is there a service of some sort that is available to the city to make sure that people don't miss these deadlines as it does revolve erratically?
Director.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I might provide an initial response and then ask Director Humphrey if he can add to that response. We use some of that where people register on the pesticide notification, where they actually get an SMS when that happens. So we are making use of that. We have not made use of that because people have to register and actually register their mobiles with the city. But if you allow, Mr. Mayor, if Mr. Humphrey can add to that.
Through Mr. Mayor, the city doesn't currently have the capability to take a map or use a particular base station to send SMSs. It's just not something that we've been provided by the federal government. That's usually only available for emergency services. So the only option we have to collect emails and phone numbers is when people make contact with the city for other services. We are in the process of deploying Dynamics 365 as a customer relationship management system. And the IT team and the customer service
Community and Stakeholder Relations Business Unit are working on ways we can actually create a portal so that people can register, and then we'd be able to send out those sorts of notifications. But it's probably still 12 to 18 months away.
Further questions, Council? Councillor Hart. Apologies.
Just following on one of the comments that was said, that basically it was much cheaper to have roadside collections as opposed to on-demand veg collections, on-demand collections for green waste. Do we understand the rationale around why that is the case?
Director Klassen, and I might have a couple of comments.
Three of us, the mayor, perhaps we need to look at the type of companies that provide the various services. For the GreenWaste service, the collection with a scheduled service provide the efficiency through that service. It also provides the opportunity for smaller contractors to provide that service, and you'll see actually from the tender responses where the bulk hard waste, that is not the case. So the hard waste, there's always a difference, and it's much cheaper to actually do the containerized collection due to the contamination, etc. So in terms of that, it's purely market-driven. That's the response we had from the market. We had, when we did a report in 2022, we did an assessment of the potential various options. And at the time, it has indicated that for bulk green waste service, and I'm sorry, I'm just trying to get that information, for bulk green waste service, it would be slightly cheaper to continue with the scheduled service, where bulk hard waste service, it was about 50% more expensive to go back to the old service. And so it's based on the market, and don't really understand the key drivers behind it.
In terms of that, since we've made the transition from veg collections to on-demand veg collections, and just using this as an example, have we seen a drop in the amounts of actual waste collected? And would that potentially explain the reduction in cost? Because individuals are less likely to order a skip as opposed to potentially more likely to put it on the veg when they see their neighbours doing the same?
My apologies, are we still on green waste here? Have we gone back to bulk waste? I'm asking because I might need to leave the room. That's why.
So I suppose my question is in relation to why there is a variance in the type from one, and it's in relation to the comment that it's cheaper. So it potentially does touch on both, but it's more a question of comparison.
Thank you, Councillor Hutton. Director Klassen?
Three, Mr. Mayor, we don't have any experience with a change in the service on the green waste, so can't really comment on the reduction. From anecdotally from other local governments where they have changed to an on-request green collection service, there is a reduction in volumes and a reduction in the percentage of households participating in that service.
A couple of questions from myself following on from Councillor Hutton's. Is it the case, Director, in circumstances where councils have gone to on-demand that you see seasonal spikes?
To you, Mr. Mayor, yes, obviously there are seasonal demands, especially on the green waste side. There's definitely seasonal demands and specific seasons where the demand is much higher. And we've seen that also with the inquiries we received from residents where they kept on getting their scheduled service in the same month, that they would prefer that be on a more evenly spread across the year so that they understand if they get it in the middle of summer, but they also would appreciate it if they get it in the time of the year they would prefer it.
So I imagine if, and it's a, as an industry, and particularly when you're doing it at the scale of the city of Joondalup, is it the case that the seasonality was one of the things that may have made some of the tenderers cautious in that they were likely to see two short but frenetic periods in spring and winter and probably a tail off in other seasons? Sorry, spring and autumn.
Free Mr. May, not something specifically that the respondents indicated in their tender. One can potentially come to that conclusion based on the seasonal demand, but it's not something that's been alluded to through the tender process.
And the 10.5, which is something in Councillor Chester's absence, I know he's been requesting for some time that we look at, and by my calculation, that would mean every resident would be on an 8-year rolling roster. Is that going to impact on any of the tender submissions? So that are the prices locked in at 10.5 months versus 12 months?
Mr. Mayor, to respond to that question, the tender prices are locked in per tonne. So it's based on the volume collected, and that's how the tenders are put together. Obviously, if we go to a shorter time period, that will increase the cost initially. Over time, one would assume that you cannot cut down the same branch twice, so one would assume that over the longer period of time it will even out. There's, however, an anticipation, which is currently not factored in, that there might be a slight increase in the earlier years with an offset in the later years.
Thank you. Further questions? Councillor O'Neill.
Sorry, just one if I may. I didn't have the information previous to your question. Being that this is a tonnage lock-in service, and we are obviously always looking for water-wise safety, saving water, sorry. Has it been thought of that perhaps if instead of the greenways being picked up and taken away, they offer an on-site mulch service, which would then leave the mulched product on the verge for the resident to reuse efficiently to, you know, mulch their gardens essentially and saving water that way and obviously reducing costs because it's a tonnage lock-in. Is that a possibility, or...?
Director.
Fair Mr. Mayor, not something that was specifically included as an option in the tender. However, if one look at that service, firstly, if a contractor need to come out and do the mulching on site where it is, that will increase the cost considerably. Also, from a health and safety perspective, starting to do that type of service on a residential verge in a residential suburb, just from a safety point of view, one can assume that that will further impact on the cost and make it most probably cost prohibitive. Residents can, as we still have the case, pick up mulch based on their vouchers from Wangara, and that is still available to residents to pick up. They don't get their own mulch back, but they do get the option to get some of it back through that voucher service.
Okay, so just to be clear, the contract timing for this one is coming up at the same period with the bulk hardware collection, is that correct, or is it coming up at a different time?
Director?
Yep, that is correct, 30 June 2024.
Further questions on this item? If not, that concludes the reports section. We have reports of committees, Mr. CEO.
Thank you, Mayor. At this stage, I can advise that the following Chief Executive Officer Recruitment and Performance Review Committee reports will be listed in the Council agenda for the meeting to be held on the 23rd of April, being a confidential report on the Chief Executive Officer Performance Review Process and a confidential report on a salary review for the Chief Executive Officer.
Thank you. Are there any reports of the CEO, Mr. CEO?
At this stage, no.
Thank you. Urgent business will be considered at the council meeting, if any, which is unlikely. Are there any elected members wishing to flag their intent to raise notices of motion? Councillor Hutton.
As previously flagged at the last council meeting, I intend to bring a notice of motion around improving free parking around the CBD and particularly reducing the hours at which parking is charged. And on a second of notice of motion, I'm going to be investigating over the next week potential motion around e-scooters and policing from a, the city taking a position to actually lobby the state government on enforcement.
Thank you. Any other notices of motion? If not, that concludes tonight's briefing session, and I close the meeting at 7:50 p.m. Thank you.